All right, so we're going to be in Psalm 42. I don't always begin a week with this topic, but I really felt the Lord leading me to do that today. Psalm 42 is a wonderful passage. We're going to work our way through it by the time we're done, Lord willing. But the title of my message is Mastering Our Moods. Mastering our moods. You know, the first five verses, we hear David crying out for God and panting and thirsting after God. And it's wonderful. We could just park on those first five verses. But if you read the whole chapter, you really find David reaching out to the Lord and then falling back into despair. And then he kind of comes up for air again, and then boom, he falls back down again. In fact, let's just read through it. It's not long. You'll see David going through this up and down tumble. But I want you to know, one thing I love about Psalms is David usually, just about always, ends up on solid ground, okay? He might struggle, but he shows you how to struggle. He shows you how to work through things and come out on the solid ground. But let's just look at it again here. Psalm 42, verse 1, "As the hart panteth after the water brook, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my meat day and night, while they continually say unto me, Where is thy God? When I remember these things, I pour out my soul in me, for I had gone with the multitude. I went with them to the house of God with the voice of joy and praise, with a multitude that kept holy day. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance." Sounds like he got back up for some air there, didn't he? Verse 6. "Oh, my God, my soul is cast down within me." That didn't take long, did it? "Therefore will I remember thee from the land of Jordan and of the Hermonites and from the hill Mizar. Deep calleth unto deep at the noise of thy water spouts. All thy waves and thy billows are gone over me. Yet the Lord will command his loving kindness in the daytime. And in the night, his song shall be with me, and my prayer unto the God of my life." Do you see, hear him coming back up? Words of faith. Then, verse 9, "I will say unto God, my rock, why hast thou forgotten me?" Back down he goes. "Why go I mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? As with a sword in my bones, my enemies reproach me, while they say daily unto me, Where is thy God? Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him who is the health of my countenance and my God." Sounds like he got to the solid ground. Yes. And you know, we're going to learn as we look at this how David was wrestling with darkness. He was in a dark place. I'm calling it a mood because I think it's a term we can all understand. Everybody has moods that come and go. We have good moods, bad moods. Sometimes you're just in the mood for a certain kind of food. Sometimes you're just in the mood for pizza. And everybody else wants tacos. You're like, I don't want tacos. I want pizza, you know. It's hard to explain that. Sometimes you're in the mood for chocolate. You know, actually, I think I'm always in the mood for chocolate. I think there's never a bad time for that. Moods come and go. You're in the mood for a certain activity. You're in the mood to go somewhere, do something. Or you're in no mood to do anything. And for whatever reason, you would just rather find a dark place and hide. You know, I don't want to be trivial here because there are the trivial up and downs that we all face, the changing of the weather. But you know, for some in this room, there are some deep, dark holes that we fall in. And they master us. They control us. You can fall into some quicksand of darkness and sadness or regret or guilt or fear or worry or bitterness. or self-loathing, and you get down in there and it's hard to come up for air. It's hard to get out. Sometimes we're used to being down there. We're not even quite sure if we're okay in the sunlight. You know, throughout the Psalms, and especially in Psalm 119, don't turn now, but you could go through and with a highlighter or underline the word quicken. Ever seen the word quicken in your King James Bible? It's another word for revive. Quicken means to bring to life. And over again, David talks about quicken me according to thy word. He'll talk about I'm disheartened, I'm down, I'm discouraged, and then he'll say, quicken me, quicken me, quicken me. David knew that he needed reviving. He needed quickening. And by the way, the power is in the word. The word of God has the ability to do that. You know, if we're going to have revival this week, if it's real, then God has to do something in you that's more powerful than your darkest mood. Is God more powerful than your feelings? Is Christ's life able to counteract what we do and how we feel when we feel that way? Is God able to pick us up out of the pit? Is he able to do it? You know, moods are funny. Some of us are in church today because we were in the mood. By the way, whether you're here in the mood or out of the mood, praise God that you're here. Amen? Amen. I'm glad you are all in the mood to be in church today. But the fact is, sometimes we're not. And that's where it's good to have someone to help haul us out of bed or someone to encourage us to get here. You know, if we just follow our moods, it's not going to work. And unfortunately, if our spiritual, quote-unquote, spiritual life is not more powerful than our feelings, then what we have is no different than what the world has. Think about that. So many times we say, you know, I want to be a better Christian. I want to be in my Bible. I really want to be faithful in prayer. But you know, I'm just not been feeling well lately. Now, get it. I get it. Sometimes I don't feel well. The older I get, the more I don't feel well. And, you know, things don't feel right. You don't wake up feeling normal. Something doesn't hurt. Something hurts a little bit. Your neck isn't turning all the way, you know. Something doesn't quite work. Your joints start to hurt. You know, think about this. Now, I really want to be in my Bible. I really want to do this. But right now, I'm just not in a good place. See what we just did? What we have told ourselves is spirituality is possible only when I get to that plateau of a good mood, a good feeling, once I feel good, once my mind clears, once my body, once my heart, once my soul, once I get to that clear green pasture, then I'll feed on the word, then I'll be spiritual. But somehow we tell ourselves, God wouldn't expect me to be godly now. I mean, he knows what I went through. He knows the way I feel. He knows the darkness. He knows the hopelessness. He wouldn't expect me now. And what we've actually admitted is that we believe that we have no choice but to be mastered by our moods. So Satan has us. All he has to do is change the weather. And we give him the excuse because we don't actually believe that we have a God that's big enough. And he is big enough.
Yes.
All right, so the first point here is very basic. We are responsible for our moods. Now, I guess I should put an asterisk by that one. We're responsible for how we handle it. Sometimes how they come, why they come is a mystery, right? But we are responsible for persisting in a mood and how we handle that. If you just give up and go with the wind, you are responsible for that. I want you to turn to a passage and we'll come right back. But look at Proverbs 25. Proverbs 25. Verse 28. It's a great verse to underline and memorize. Proverbs 25, verse 28. He that hath no rule over his own spirit is like a city that is broken down and without walls. Now, you don't see the word mood there. It's the word spirit. And sometimes the word spirit in context is talking about God, the Spirit of God. Sometimes it's referring to the spirit of man. But many times in context, you can see that it's referring to the attitudes and the feelings, the emotions that we call our moods, our inner feelings, our attitudes. And he says, he that hath no rule over his own spirit. So he's saying we're actually supposed to rule our spirit. You know, a king cannot control everything that everybody does, but he can create order. He can set bounds, right? He can set consequences. He can limit things within his realm. And so we are responsible for how we manage our moods. And if you let it run, if you let it run wild, if you let it fall apart, God actually holds us accountable for that. He that hath no rule over his own spirit is like a city that is broken down and without walls. Now, we can't fully relate to this because we don't live in walled cities. But how many of you live in walled houses? Come on. Do you have walls on your houses? Okay. And do you have doors in those walls and windows? Do you lock your doors? Okay. This is Madison. All right. We were from the Chicago area. We believed in locking our doors. You know, it's funny the things you have to learn the hard way. When I was a newlywed, everything's going great. And pretty soon I found out, you know, my poor wife living in Chicago, she was not going to sleep unless she knew all the doors were locked. Now, ladies, is that reasonable? That's reasonable. I didn't think so. No, of course it's reasonable. But, you know, we're about to go to sleep. Everyone's exhausted and the lights are out and you're about to conk. And my sweet wife says, honey, did you lock the front door? Yep. Did you lock the back door? Yep. Did you close the garage? Yep. But you see, the problem was the delay. See, I delayed. So now she's like, oh, are you sure? Yeah, I'm pretty sure I closed the garage. Are you sure? So what do I got to do? I got to get up, go out there, check. Sure enough, the garage is closed. Now, once in a while, she was right, you know. But normally, the doors were all locked. But here's the point. She couldn't feel secure until she knew she was safe, right? Doors are locked. Look, in those days, if you lived in a city without a wall, you were not safe. Bands of thieves and traveling, you know, marauders would come through and ransack and take and pillage, and you had no defenses. You were vulnerable. And the point is this, when you and I choose to say, you know, I have no control of the way I feel, which to some degree is true. Our feelings can be physical, right? But we say, therefore, I'm not to blame if I go into this dark place. I'm not to blame if I let this bitter wind blow through my heart. We're basically putting our walls down. And now Satan can come in with his army, and we've opened the door. We've torn the walls down. Now, in the name of a bad mood, a dark time, we excuse all kinds of sin. We excuse the words we say. And we just hope the people that know us will cut us some slack. After all, you know I had a hard day. Well, you know this time I have a headache. And look, there are some debilitating headaches. I'm not minimizing anybody's suffering here. But you know, Jesus suffered too. We have to remember that Jesus suffered from the cross, did he not? Amen. And yet somehow he had the grace, the life. He was God himself, wasn't he? He blessed his enemies. He was gentle towards his persecutors, and he didn't feel good. Now that's a miracle. But if you're saved, who lives here? Who lives in you? What if we could access that? What if we could learn to let the life of Christ flow? And so this is where we have to realize if we don't take responsibility for how we manage these things, then our walls are down. Most people are ruled by their moods. They don't rule their moods. They don't master their moods. Bad moods open the door to sin. I couldn't help it. I was in a bad mood. Well, I couldn't do what I was supposed to do. I was in a bad place mentally. You know, you can't blame me for this addiction. If you knew all of the darkness and the sadness of my life, then you would understand why I have to go back to this crutch. You see how this works?
Yeah.
The walls are down, so the enemy rolls in. Now the addictions crop up and the obsessions and all the destructive behavior starts to pour in. Because we said, well, if I feel so bad, you can't expect me to have any victory. And so, number one, if you're going to master your mood, we have to take responsibility. Number two, let's look at this passage in Psalms and just take a look at David. What was he dealing with? Let's recognize the nature of these moods. Sometimes just by looking at it, we can relate to what's going on in our lives. Let's recognize the nature of our moods. He asked the question in verse 5, why art thou cast down, O my soul? That's a good question. Why is he cast down? Maybe there's some clues. Now, that word cast down is an interesting word. It has the idea of a structure that has been brought down to nothing. Demoed. You got a beautiful structure. They come in with the wrecking ball. Boom, it's down. Can you just prop it back up again? No, it's done. You got to rebuild it. It is brought down. That's what this word means. It also is similar in the concept that you find in shepherding. And I'm no shepherd, but doing some research, I found some really interesting research about something called cast sheep. Anybody ever heard that term? I never heard. Okay, one. All right, were you a shepherd? No? Okay. So a cast sheep is simply a sheep that laid down and then, you know, they have all these stomachs and they start to swell. And if they don't get up in time, they'll bloat and they cannot roll over. And in fact, sometimes they will be on their back, four hoofs up. They can't get up. And it looks funny until you realize they will die within only a few minutes if they stay there. And so it's common for tourists in Ireland to be walking along and say, oh, look at the cute little sheepy. Oh, that one's so cute. He's laying down. Actually, he's dying, very likely. He's on his side. His legs are stiff. And what he actually needs the nice tourist to do is not snap a picture. What he needs you to do is to grab him and bring him up onto his hoofs and then hold him there for a while. Because it takes a while for their little brain and their little bowels to level out. You might have to hold him there for several minutes. If you let go, he'll just boom, right back on the ground again. So you got to hold him there, then they acclimate, and then they can trot off. Now, you just saved that sheep's life because he was cast. He could not get up. And that's the way David felt. I feel like a building that's been demolished. I feel like a sheep that can't get up, and if someone doesn't pick me up, I'm done. Let me tell you what. Darkness is real. You call it depression, you call it whatever you want to call it, and I'm not a doctor. I'm not here to tell you how to medicate or deal with that. I know there can be physical and medical reasons, but I'm just telling you, we can get to places where if God doesn't intervene and put us on our feet, we are done. There are pastors who are killing themselves. There are Christians who are killing themselves. The suicide rate among junior hires in this country is skyrocketing. Many think it might have something to do with social media. I don't think they're too far off. But whatever the case, people are dark and they're dying and the devil loves it. You know, if you're here today without Christ, you are cast down. And if you die without Jesus, there's an eternity of separation from God in a place called hell. If you don't respond to the Lord and let him pick you up and set him on the solid rock, if you don't let Jesus save you, you'll be lost forever. But you know, for Christians, what a shame to have Jesus and not have joy. What a shame to have Jesus and not have victory. And instead have despair. All right, so David, he felt cast down. He felt desolate. We're just going to jump through a couple of these verses. He felt desolate. Look at verse 9. I will say unto God, my rock, why hast thou forgotten me? Why go I mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? So David felt desolate, forgotten. Very likely, this could have been written when he was young and not yet a king, when he was living out in the wilderness in the mountains being chased by Saul. And if that's the case, this would make sense. David is hiding in the caves. He's got a small band, kind of like Robin Hood and his merry men, you know. He's got a small group of faithful who have come out to join him, but he's alone. And he's desolate. He feels forgotten by family and friends. He feels forgotten by God. You can see his longing back in verse 4. When I remember these things, I pour out my soul in me, for I had gone with the multitude. I went with them to the house of God with the voice of joy and praise, with the multitude that kept holiday. Does that sound like somebody who's banished? He can't go back to Jerusalem. He's being hunted. You know, you go to church, you got to go to the temple. He can't go. Wasn't it miserable, those years of or months of lockdown, where people felt they couldn't come and be with God's people? We all felt banished, didn't we? That's a lonely and vulnerable place. You know, if the devil can get you to feel all by yourself, or actually take you away from the body, get you all by yourself, where you think you're forgotten of God, that's a dark, destructive place. That's where David was. He felt forgotten by friends, forgotten by God. Of course, was it true? God hadn't forgotten him, but it's where he was in his mind. All right, he felt doomed. He felt doomed. In verse 6, he says, Oh my God, my soul is cast down within me. Therefore will I remember thee from the land of Jordan and of the Hermonites in the hill Mizar. A little bit of geographical research. And these were some rugged, rugged mountain peaks in the Jordan area. And that place is known for its caves. It's a high altitude, and it is desolate. It is absolutely unlivable. You wouldn't want to live there, and it's cold at night, and the wind comes whipping through. It was a terrible place to live, and that's where he was hanging out. That's where he was hiding. Verse 7, deep calleth unto deep at the noise of thy waterspouts. All thy waves and thy billows are gone over me. He's making reference to a whale that just comes up and maybe blows some blows his spout and then goes down, 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 doesn't come up for a long time. He says, I feel like I'm at the bottom of the ocean and I'm drowning. Has anybody here ever had the horrible experience of almost drowning? Anybody? I've been there. All right. When I was younger, my dad's a lifeguard, or was a trained lifeguard. He's a preacher, but we were swimming as a family at this family had a nice pool, and my brothers were older than me. They were down in the deep end, and I couldn't help but edge my way out to the middle, you know? Well, eventually I went too far. I couldn't find the bottom, and I began to panic, and I began to drown. You know, with all the commotion in a swimming pool, it's noisy. There's splashing everywhere. It's hard to know if the splashing is real or not, if it's fake or if it's funny or if it's tragic. Well, pretty soon, I couldn't find up, I couldn't find down, I couldn't see, and I began to realize my little life was about to be over. I was about 12, and thank God, my dad saw something, and he grabbed me and pulled me out. But you know what? I could have drowned that day. It's a terrifying feeling when you realize help is not coming. You feel doomed. This is it. You know, if the devil can get you to feel like there's no hope, oh, he's got you. If he can get you to feel like you're the exception, everybody else can get happy, everybody else can get healthy, but there's no hope for you. The waves are over your head. Oh, that's a dangerous place to be. Folks, that's why we need each other. We need the church to pray for one another. We all need to be lifeguards. Somebody needs to see if somebody else is struggling so we can come along and grab them and pray with them and encourage them. But ultimately, when you're in that place, you'd better figure out how to master your moods because you're going down fast. That's where David was. And I got to hurry, but he also felt desolate. He felt doomed, but he felt defeated. Defeated. Look at verse 9 again and then verse 10. He says, I will say unto God my rock, why hast thou forgotten me? Why go I mourning because the oppression of the enemy? As with a sword in my bones, my enemies reproach me, while they say daily unto me, where is thy God? David felt doomed and desolate, but he felt defeated. His enemies were gloating. Ha, look at you. We've heard that you've been anointed as the next king, and look at you living out there like a wild animal. Where is your God? Ha, ha, ha. What kind of a God do you serve? That struck him deeply. Remember, this is the David who killed Goliath. This is the David who cares about God's honor, right? He's the one who said, is there not a cause? And he went out and killed the big guy. Amen? Yep. This is David, and his heart is breaking because his enemies are mocking him, saying, your God is weak. Your God is nothing. Look at you. Now, I don't think I have anybody trying to kill me, as far as I know. I hope nobody's trying to kill you. I don't know what that must feel like to be actually running for my life. I know one thing, the devil knows my number. The devil knows your number. He knows just which arrows hit the target every time. He knows your flesh, he knows your kin. He'll sick them on you, amen? No, he knows everything. He knows your flesh, he knows your circumstances, and he can lay those traps. And I'll tell you what, when we fall and our flesh gets the better of us and we fall into sin, the devil mocks us. He's the accuser of the brethren. You can just about hear his voice. Ha, ha, ha! Look at you! You call yourself a Christian. You call yourself a Bible believer. Look at you. Oh, you're going to ask God to forgive you again. What a hypocrite. You ever heard that hiss of Satan? It's a terrible place. And some of our depression is because of hurts in the past. Some of our depression is because of physical things that cause pain and misery. And some of our darkness can come from all that. But I think there's a good portion of our darkness that comes from our own sin. When we know we have transgressed, we've broken God's law, we feel like we can't even meet his gaze because we've just done too much. When we forget the fact that he's the one who died on the cross for us. He already tasted death for you. He already bore your shame at the cross. Not that he's minimizing your sin, but he already bore your sin. Did you know you can't shock God? You can't shock him with your sin because he already bore it at the cross. Amen. And yet you think, oh, I'm defeated. And so I just can't go back to church. They're all too good. I'll just mess up that place. Now look, churches are full of sinners saved by grace. Amen? But how many people stay away from church and now they are feeling desolate because they feel like, you know, once I get my act together, once I get rid of this guilt, once I get rid of this habit, and the whole time they're listening to the mockery of their own conscience and the flesh and the devil, and boy, they're cast down. That might be someone in this room. You need the Lord to stand you on your feet. Now, how did David do it? I'll give it to you quickly, but it's simple. It's so simple. I love the fact that our problems often are complicated, but God's answers are simple. Did you hear that? God's answers are simpler than our problems every single time. Not that God is minimizing it, but he has such simple, powerful answers. Look at verse 5. He's preaching to himself. You know, preachers have to preach to ourselves. I think every Christian needs to preach to themselves. Take the truth you've heard, take it home, and preach it to yourself the next day. He's preaching to himself. He's actually talking to himself. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. I'm going to praise the Lord for the help of his countenance. Wait a minute. Isn't this the guy who feels alone? Yep. But he's also a believer. He knows God's with him. If you're saved, you can think all kinds of crazy thoughts, but you've got the Holy Spirit and you've got this book, and you know the truth, right? And so he's saying, wait a minute. I'm going to praise the Lord for the help of his countenance. The countenance is the, 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 the face of God. It's as though God has turned his smile towards you. And he says, I'm going to believe that God is not only with me, but God is for me. God's face is smiling. Sometimes we have a picture that God's up in heaven just frowning at us all day long. Oh, not again. Ever feel that way? God must be mad at me. Look, he loves you. And his countenance is for you and towards you. And so David says, I'm going to praise God for the help of his countenance. Practice praise. Something about praise, it's like, ever been in a dark room for the first time? You know, I've had times where I was staying in a guest home and you couldn't find the light switch. One time it was a pull string above my head. That's the worst. It's totally dark and you got to get up and use the bathroom, but you can't find the pull string. You're doing a Jedi Master thing. You're trying to find it. You're just swinging around it. Okay, good. Found it. Ding. Ah, light comes on. Okay. You can be in a dark place, but you can always reach up to praise, and praise turns the light on. Thank you, Lord, that you're with me. Thank you, Lord, that your face is toward me. You haven't turned your back on me. He turned his back on his son because of you. Wow. But he'll never turn his back on you. He's with you. Thank you, Lord. Just praise him. Verbalize your faith, and it turns the light on. Not only that, I want you to think of this. Focus your desires on the Lord. Look at verse 1. As the hart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. Sounds like a thirsty, hungry man. You know, all of us, our greatest thirst is for God. That's true for the lost as well. They just don't feel it. But they're made in the image of God. But if you're saved today, you have the Holy Spirit within you. You have the Spirit of God crying, Abba, Father. He is leading you to God. If you're a child of God, he's there. And there's a thirst that he wants to quench. But the trouble is, when we get in a dark place, instead of turning to God to quench that thirst, instead of acknowledging the real thirst, know what we go for? The easy fix. Now it's time for another cold one. And the Christian who hasn't drunk for a long time all of a sudden is buying the six-pack again. Maybe he's hiding it from his family or friends. And he knows he shouldn't. He's a child of God. But you know what? He's just so miserable, nothing really matters. But if he's saved, there's a part of him that says, wait a minute, this won't quench my thirst. Jesus will. But you have to choose. You have to choose to focus your thirst on Jesus. Focus your thirst on God. Get to your Bible. Get to your church. Get to a Christian brother and pray with him. But you're going to have to focus your heart on the Lord. Otherwise, it's so easy to try to quench that thirst somewhere else. We all do it. You know, I don't think it's that common anymore for Christians to have all-night prayer meetings. Seems like when revival comes, people pray. Long time. All night. They pray and revival comes, and revival comes and they pray. Which one came first? Probably prayer, but revival always begets prayer. Hungry people seeking after God. Let me ask you this. When's the last time you stayed up all night in prayer? Because you were so thirsty for God, you just had to spend more time with him. For many, it's been a long time, maybe never. And yet the same crowd. How many have stayed up all night binging your favorite TV show? You know, we live in the age of streaming. You can watch all 25 zillion episodes in one night. And it's not going to satisfy. And it's probably going to pervert and spoil your heart and mind because there's so much junk out there, right? It's just you got to be so careful to not defile your conscience nowadays. Yeah. But my point is, when David was down in the dumps, at least he focused his heart up to the sunlight of God, and he pointed his thirst toward God. And you got to do it. We can do it. And if you're saved, you've got the advantage because the Holy Spirit wants to do it. Yep. He's leading us to that relationship with the Father. So reach up and pull that chain and practice praise. Praise turns the light on. And then direct your thoughts and your feelings, your passions toward God. Finally, I want you to see this beautiful transformation we see in verse 11. You might have noticed that verse 11 sounds almost the same as verse 5. Almost the same. Small difference. Okay, it says, "Why art thou cast down, O my soul, and why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him who is the health of my countenance and my God." Now, did you see the difference? This one says the health of what? The health of whose? My countenance. Look at verse 5. "Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of" what? "His countenance." So in verse 5, he's still in the middle of his sorrows. He's trying to come up for air, and all he can do is just remember that God is smiling on him, that God is with him, that God is for him, and his praise is just beginning to get him out of the dark, right? But by the end, he says, "Lord, I'm going to thank you for the health, the restoration to health." That sounds like revival. "The health of my countenance." Wow. "Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him who is," he is the health of my countenance and my God. He's my God. And so what's happened is the smile on God's face has turned into a smile on my face. Now, it doesn't mean that Christians are always walking around, you know, skipping through the tulips. We cry, don't we? We grieve. We have darkness. But God doesn't want you to stay in the darkness. Amen. And if you'll practice praise and point your thirst toward God, you'll find eventually your feet are on solid ground. As David says, that you've been pulled out of the miry clay and you've been set down on solid ground. Do you want that? Some of us need that this week. We need God to get us up onto the solid ground of his word. And you know the miracle has happened when other people see it on your face. Because you've been looking into his face by faith through his word. And like Moses up on the mountaintop, eventually something happened to Moses' face. You start to spend time with God. And his face changes your face. Then someone says, "You know, I know what you've been going through, but I just don't understand how you have such peace. You know, I don't understand how you can still have time for other people and serve the way you do. You know, you just seem to always have joy and a song. I don't get that. I know what you've been through. I know you've lost a loved one, or I know you've had a protracted sickness, or, you know, I know you've had some real disappointments." You know, what's the answer? If you've got that joy on your countenance, you just might have a witnessing opportunity. Yeah. Well, let me tell you, it's not been easy, but let me tell you about Jesus. Because Jesus saved me, and he's the one who's gotten me through this. And you can tell them about your Savior. Isn't that what it's all about? He gets the glory, others get saved. Because you chose to master your mood instead of letting it rule you. You're going to have to struggle. David didn't get out of it right away. He wrestled, but he wrestled with the right truths, and he got out on the solid ground. You can too. Some of us, we need to confess the fact we've been excusing a lot of evil behavior because we're nurturing the darkness. We're allowing that darkness. We're excusing it. And look, it's not fun to feel bad. Some of us have real pain and real heartache. But you know, the Lord knows all about that. But if you'll give it to God, he can bring you out onto solid ground and you can have joy on your countenance as well. Let's ask the Lord to help us. Heavenly Father, we thank you.